Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The title is Fida Tujpe e Khake Shahre Madina.
Mubarak Tujhe Ho E Arde Madina. Nabi
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Nabi Ka Shahar Hai. یہ شہرِ مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو یہ ارضِ مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہرِ مدینہ تیرے پاس جب سعی یہ دے دو جہاں ہے تیرے پاس جب سعی یہ دے دو جہاں ہے نہ کیوں رش کے افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشان نبی ہے فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہ صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہر مدینہ وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہر مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو اے ارض مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہر مدینہ
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسول کریم اما بعد This beautiful poem of Mawlana Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh speaking about the land of Medina Munawwara to the same aim as life be sacrificed for you or the city of Medina Munawwara because it is from there that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam he spread the He made effort. The Ansar helped Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in deen spreading the whole world. And whatever today we have of our deen, it's all through the barakat of Medina Sharif, barakat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And today we are benefiting, just having iman. What a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took us out of the darkness of kufr and shirk, of disbelief. There are still people in the world who will go down behind in front of an idol and they will lower themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran speaks about it. لا يستطيعون نصر أنفسهم ولا هم منا ينصرون. They can't even help themselves, really can't help anybody else. And Allah Ta'ala says they cannot create anything. They themselves are created. وإن تدعوهم إلى الهدى لا يسمعوا. If you call them towards hidayat, towards any guidance, towards any benefit for themselves, they can't even hear. وتراهم ينظرون إليك وهم لا يبصرون. And you actually see them looking at you. Outwardly their eyes are looking towards you, but they can't even see. These idols, and people actually worshipping them. And some people they actually bring the stool of the cows. What and what things. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took us out of all of the day, out of kufr, out of shirk. Sometimes we're traveling on the road, we see people, non-Muslim people standing and urinating and passing water, and we think, what is that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us? Really, the what a pure, wonderful teachings he has given us in every aspect of our life. To make sajda, what a great ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. To make sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, man by nature is a servant, is a slave. If you're not a slave of Allah Ta'ala, we're going to be the slave of somebody else. We'll be the slave of our nafs, slave of shaitan. We have to be a slave. By nature, we are slaves. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us to be the slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وَعُبُدُ رَبَّكُمْ. Become the slave of your Rabb. Creator and sustainer. Allah الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. The one who created you, who has given you all of these bounties. So imagine Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us this. In every aspect of his life, what he has taught us, Subhanallah, there can't be anything more superior, more beloved, more greater than the tariqah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The honor Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave to the women folk. Subhanallah, where the women folk, what were they? Degraded, disgraced, put down in history. Look at all the other cultures and the people that were following them and how they degraded women. And in today's time also, unfortunately, the other extreme, they have outwardly shown that women are free, but in actual fact, they are free to fulfill their desires. And they've got no actual freedom in life. But now they have become the slaves of other men. When they left the slavery of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, they became the slaves of men who are following their passions and desires. They are disgraced. If there was actually freedom in their lifestyle, what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives them, the true freedom, the true honor and izzat, then it wouldn't have been that most of them are going on to antidepressants, and they are taking medication, and they are on drugs, and they are going on alcohol, and they are going through so much of depression. And the biggest amount of depression in the world is in the first world countries, especially amongst women folk. You see, before 1940s, when the woman came out, most of the people who had depression problems were men. But the minute the woman came out of their homes, then it completely turned the other way around. Mufti Shubhitab Rahmatullah Ali says, يَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. That Allah created man and woman, and a husband and wife, so that they can get sukoon and comfort the one another. He said, today the enemies have made such an effort to remove that sukoon and peace of mind. So the house there is, but there is no sukoon, there is no comfort in that house. And he says that if you study and you look, the more immorality becomes common amongst people, the more immoral actions, immodest actions become common, more parda is taken out from the houses. He said, we are actually destroying the sukoon in our homes. He's writing about 40, 50 years ago, he's saying that talaqi parmar, he says that how much of talaq is taking place. That's the man at that time he's writing. And he's saying that you look, the more we take the woman out of the homes, the more we come out of the masail of parda, and keeping the woman according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said the more the sukoon is coming out of the homes, the more there is fights in the houses, the more there is problems in the house. Allah has given us yaskuna ilayha, the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We get sukoon in our homes. So every aspect of our life, whatever we look at, in our business dealings, in our marriage lives, in our social lives, the Nabi of Allah has given us the greatest and most the most superior way. So why are we looking at the life of anybody else? Why are we turning our gaze to anybody else besides the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah give us true realization and to appreciate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat is a Mubarak to Jeh Ho eh Arde Madina. Blessed be to you, O land of Medina Munawwara. Nabi ka shahr hai ye shahr Medina. That this is the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the city of Medina Munawwara. May Allah give us the true love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whatever is connected to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the city of Medina Munawwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make ziyarat. And if we cannot make ziyarat, at least minimum, how much of Durood Sharif are we reciting daily? And we are thinking of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much do we think of Medina Munawwara and the resting place of our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How much do we think of following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And really, this is the true love which a person can show of his love of Medina Sharif. Tere paas jab sayyid do jaha hai, na kyu rashki aflaq ho fir Medina. When the leader of both the worlds, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is buried in you, how fortunate you are. Then why won't the city of Medina Munawwara be rashki aflaq, be the envy of the whole universe? The whole universe is being envious when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying. That's why the ulama has mentioned it, the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat, that greater than the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and greater than the Kursi, and greater than the Kaaba Sharif also, is the place, the sand which is surrounding the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously Makkah Mukarrama in general is more superior than Medina Munawwara, besides the place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lies and he is resting. That place is the most superior place on the land of, on the surface of the earth, and more superior than the heavens and the skies. Subhanallah, imagine if a person gets the opportunity to go there. He is in the greatest place, the greatest area which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in the world. Why? Because the greatest of Allah's creation, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is buried there. Then Hazrat says, Tere sabz gumbat pe alam fida'e falk jayte chume zameen Medina. The place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is resting, the green dome, may the whole world be sacrificed for that area. That even the falak jayte, the thing like the sky, is actually coming down to kiss the land of Medina Munawwara. He also understands what a great place this is, the land of Medina Munawwara. Tera zarra zarra nishane nabi hai fida tush pe mekhake chehre Medina. Every single atom is a sign of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person goes to Medina Munawwara, and the different pillars, subhanallah, the ulama have mentioned the different pillars, each of them, where the wufud used to come, another pillar of where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed tahajjud salah, another one where sahabi made tawbah. So many different places in Medina Munawwara. You go to the different masajid, Masjid al-Quba, then you go to Masjid al-Qiblatain. So many different places there in Medina Munawwara. And really a person who's got love, who's got real ishq, he will try to actually find out every one of these places. And we go there, and there's barakat and blessings to be derived in such places. Subhanallah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was going for Mi'raj. Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, the first place he stopped Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina Munawwara. And he said, this will be the place of hijrat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 2 rakat of salah there. And then Jibreel alayhi salam continued with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And eventually they came to Bethlehem, Beit al-Laham, where Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam was born. And Jibreel alayhi salam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read 2 rakat of salah. His barakat and blessings, Zami alayhi wa sallam, were born in the place. And then he continued and he came to a place where Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at Mount Tur. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 2 rakat namaz there. And then the place where Shuaib alayhi salatu wa sallam, where Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam lived in Madian, with Shuaib alayhi salam, this place also for 8 to 10 years, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam made him read 2 rakat of salah there. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued for the mi'raj. So Allama Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned that when the place of Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam's birth is so mubarak, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 2 rakat namaz there. And what about the birthplace of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Won't that be also a mubarak place? And he said when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in Makkah Mukarramah for 53 years of his life, and if Musa alayhi wa sallam lived in one place for 8 to 10 years, it became mubarak, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 2 rakat namaz there. But the place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for 53 years of his life, where he grew up and where he got married to Khadija radiallahu anha, and he lived for another 13 years there, won't that be the most mubarak, ulama say that the most mubarak place in Makkah Mukarramah after the Kaaba Sharif? The place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived, unfortunately today it has been raised down and they turned it into a library or whatever. And now we heard that they want to, Allah knows best, whether they turn it into a wuzu khana. And if they make it a wuzu khana, it means the toilet at the bottom of that mubarak place. So what an injustice it is to that mubarak place. And you see, where wahi came down to the Musa alayhi salatu wasalam one time, Mount Tur, if it's such a mubarak place, then the places in Makkah, Mukarramah and Medina where wahi came down so many times, won't that be mubarak places also? My person reads 2 rakat of salah there, he's actually deriving and taking the barakat and blessings of that place. So it is actually a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people, they say certain things that is that correct and it's bid'at, it's read 2 rakat, and where you get barakat in it. And this hadith is something in Nasai Sharif, and it's a very sahih hadith. Nobody got any doubts about this hadith. Our ulama say that what a proof we've got to show that why we can take tabarruk and barakat from the places. So all of these places in Medina Munawwara we go and we read 2 rakat of salah there. So every place in Medina Munawwara actually is a nishan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The famous story of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, that he refused to actually pass water in Medina Munawwara. He said, because I do not know in which place my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's foot touched. And if I have to pass, what a year, I will show disrespect to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he used to go out of Medina Munawwara just to relieve himself. Whenever there was a need, he used to go out of Medina Munawwara. Obviously, Medina Munawwara wasn't as big as it is today. Medina Munawwara is where the whole masjid is today. The area of the masjid in the outside, that actually was the whole of Medina Munawwara. Because in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Baqi was in the outskirts of Medina Munawwara. And we know now this Baqi is actually like it's so close to the masjid. So Medina Munawwara was very small. But still Imam Malik rahmatullah had that respect. He would not relieve himself in Medina, in the precincts of Medina Munawwara. So because every single place is a nisan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May my life be sacrificed on the sand of Medina Munawwara also. Uhud ke ye daman mein khune shahida sabab de raha hai wafai Medina. At the place of Uhud is the blood of the shaheed, the shuhada, that they sacrificed and gave the lives. 30 of Sahaba radiallahu anhu passed away, they gave their lives defending the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is giving us the sabak, giving us the lesson of the wafa of Medina, the Ansar, how they made wafadari, how they were so loyal to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my life can go also. The Sahabi says that if he told his eyes, started in companions, that I'm leaving this world. But if you people don't look after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Qiyamah, I'm going to catch you people. That your life can go, but the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more valuable. At all costs, you must look after the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's so many incidents. Sometimes a person says, how come the Sahaba radiallahu anhu lost in the battle of Uhud? So ulama say one reason Allah wanted to show the world, to see these people, subhanAllah, what loyalty they had to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in the time when you're winning all the battles, then you can't see the loyalty of a person. But when you're losing a battle and then you sacrifice your life, say, I'd rather go, but my Nabi must be protected. Allah Ta'ala showed the whole world that these people, subhanAllah, what qualities they had and how they sacrificed their lives for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at Uhud, a person learns 70 Sahaba radiallahu anhu in one day. They had given their lives for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This day that we can't even give our perspiration today for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They gave their blood in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat says that nishani hai Islam ki azmat ki sahaba ke qadam se khaak Medina. The greatness of Islam is a great sign of the greatness of Islam in Medina Munawwara, and the footsteps of the sahaba radiallahu anhum on the sand of Medina Munawwara is also a great sign of the azmat and the greatness of Islam. As I was speaking about is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they made so much of effort and all of their sacrifices and effort also is a great sign of the greatness of Islam. In what they have sacrificed and given of their lives, of their wealth, everything they have given. And this shows the greatness of Islam. And then Hazrat says, Wafadariyo par Sahaba ki akhtar hai tariq roshan ye shehre Medina. SubhanAllah, Hazrat says that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's wafadari, loyalty, The history is completely bright. And in the Medina of Munawwara, we can actually see, you go to the Qabristan there, in Baqi, and how many Sahaba radiallahu anhum are buried there, thousands of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And from every one of them, we can learn the lessons of loyalty. What and what loyalty they have given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only one occasion or one time, in every, from Makkah Mukarramah, what and what sacrifices they have given. And when they came to Medina Munawwara also, what and what sacrifices. So the history of Medina Munawwara is bright with the sacrifices and the loyalty of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Hazrat mentions always that one story of one buzurg, and he thought that I'm very pious, and I got a lot of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and no one can actually in today's time equal my love which I've got for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah wanted to show him that what love have you got for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had a dream, and in the dream he sees that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is travelling on a carriage, and there are four Sahaba radiallahu anhum on the carriage, and he is the fifth person sitting there, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also sitting on the carriage. And suddenly the animal goes out of control, and now it's going out wild. So there's a fear that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fall off the carriage. So this person is thinking, this buzrug is thinking, let me quickly jump out and get some rocks to put it at the wheels of the carriage so that the animal stops. He says, while he's still thinking, he hasn't even done it, he's still thinking, those four Sahaba radiallahu anhum jumped in front of every of those wheels to stop the animal. They're not taking a stone, taking their own lives to stop that animal. So when the buzrug saw this, he said, SubhanAllah, where can I ever? Are we looking for the stone to save Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They gave their lives to save Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we must appreciate رَبَّنَا اخْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, there are two groups of people, the Muhajirin and the Ansar. And then the people who come after them will have to acknowledge the great status of Sahaba radiallahu anhu and make dua for them. And one beautiful dua is, رَبَّنَا اخْفِرْ لَنَا. Oh Allah, forgive us. وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِمَانِ And all our brothers who have passed us with iman, especially we're speaking about Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, all of these people, whoever was our pious predecessors, we are making dua for them. It's a very beautiful dua. We must always make the dua for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, for all our pious predecessors, the dua of the Quran. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Just for the past people and for the present people, that oh Allah, do not put in our heart ghil, enmity, hatred, malice, jealousy, dislike for the people of iman. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ وَاللَّهِ you are the most compassionate, the most merciful. We read the story of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He said, when my Ustad Hamad passed away, from the time he passed away, for the rest of my life, I always made sure I made dua for him together with my father, because how much of ihsan he had made upon me. I always make dua for him with my father. And he says, I make istighfar and ask Allah for forgiveness for every single person who I learned one amount of knowledge. And whichever person I taught knowledge to also, I make dua for them after every namaz. He says, I have not said any salat since my ustad passed away, except that I made istighfar for him. And according to some narrations, about 40 years or whatever, that he always made dua for his ustad. So a person, because the person has benefited me, so sahaba benefited us, our ustadis have benefited us, our parents have benefited us, it's our duty to actually make dua for them. This is why in some of the fiqh kitabs it comes also before making salam in our namaz. Namaz is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the end of salah we must make dua also for our parents. Allahumma khfir li wa li walidayya wa li ustadi or wa li asatidatina, we've got many ustad, wa li mashayikhina or li shaykhina, we can make dua for our spiritual guides. So we make dua for our parents, our asatidah, our shaykh, and then we make dua for all those people, wa li man ahsana ilayna, whoever has done any ihsan and kindness towards us, and then make dua for our children, for our If a person has got murid, a person has got students, make dua for all of these people and make dua for the whole ummah. So in every namaz also we are making dua to us, we are asking Allah Ta'ala for His special mercy upon them. So Allah give us all tawfiq inshallah to practice upon it. In the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah is mentioning that today unfortunately we are not following the prescription which has been given to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that despite this failure upon failure, the condition of these prescriptive physicians is like that physician who misdiagnosed a patient and prescribed a laxative for him. Every time the patient sent a message to him that his diarrhea was increasing, the physician replied by saying, all the harmful matter is being expelled. Let it continue. The patient eventually passed away. Even after hearing about the death of the patient, the physician felt his diagnosis was correct and said, it is much better that he died because of the harmful matter leaving his body. Had it not come out, we wouldn't know what would have happened to him. So he killed a poor patient. So as you think that the physicians nowadays, unfortunately, they're giving the wrong prescription, the wrong diagnosis, and they're killing the patient. The reason for this practical ignorance is nothing but practical ignorance, due to which these people do not fully affirm the text of the Quran and the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which identify and specify the causes of these calamities and miseries. Oh brother, you believe in Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This means you have to affirm them in every command and everything which they say, and consider them to be true. What kind of affirmation is this, that you affirm certain things while you refuse to affirm other things? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ Do you believe in certain portions of the Quran and you reject some portions? This is why a severe need was perceived to re-caution our brothers for their ignorance or heedlessness. The illness may be diagnosed and they may be convinced with the correct treatment. After this diagnosis and conviction, they can turn their attention to removing the causes and obtaining the treatment. It has been clearly established through rational and traditional proofs, aqli and naqli, and through observation and experience, that learning and understanding these causes and treatments in these times are confined to the blessed personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, without fearing any opposition in the least, the following is a generally true claim with regard to the lofty status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His person is perfect, full of substance and treasures, like sunlight in the middle of the shade. Call him a perfectionist because he is perfect. Declare him to be truthful because he is honest and truthful. His cure is absolute magic. Just look at the power of Allah Ta'ala in his mannerisms. The person who believes in the correctness of his diagnosis and acts on his prescriptions will spontaneously announce, he is like the nur of Allah Ta'ala, removing problems, supporting consistency, and the key to all avenues of good. You are the answer to every problem. Every difficulty is resolved without any lengthy discussions. You express the problems that are concealed. Hold onto his hand, O you who are in the slippery mud. Even if the person does not understand the reason behind any of his prescriptions, his belief and yaqeen will compel him to say, all that he has received is revelation and a divine address. Whatever he says is absolutely priceless. The one who has granted life has the right to take life. He is the deputy of Allah Ta'ala. His hand is like the hand of Allah Ta'ala. Just as Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam had placed his neck before him joyfully and happily, place your heart before his sword, so that your heart will remain eternally happy. O Allah, let the heart be pure like the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the lovers drink of the cup of love, they take in abundant good at your hand. O you who are attracted by the sovereign, Allah, he is drawn to the throne in greatest of positions of proximity. By virtue of his extreme kindness and mercy, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam presented the full import of his teachings to the creation in general. After that, it is left to the good fortune or wretchedness of those who practice on them and those who do not. When anyone practices on them, he experiences nothing but rectitude and success. As for the one who discarded them, if he has some level of conviction and love, then by virtue of his conviction and love, he is deprived of immediate success and rectitude, so that this may serve as a warning for him to rectify himself and reform his ways. However, if a person is devoid of conviction and love, the evil consequence of this is that he is given superficial and immediate success as a way of enticement, while in reality and in the end he will experience nothing but deprivation. Immediate deprivation is obvious, and real deprivation is justified too by his internal condition, in the sense that he himself finds that he has no comfort and satisfaction within himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to this immediate and superficial success and the eternal and actual failure in the ayat of the Quran Sharif, which inshallah we will continue next week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true understanding.